This lesson is called The Seduction of Sir Simple. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 7. So you want to have your Proverbs open to chapter 7. That's where we're going to be for the whole time today. So last time we talked about the characteristics of Sir Simple. We noted the following: being simple is not a sin, but a phase in one's growth toward maturity. Simplicity is a stage in one's growth, but one cannot remain simple just as one cannot remain an adolescent. Simplicity is not remedied by time, but by choice. Number three. Number four, while simplicity is normally a malady of the young, every age has its pitfalls. Number five, simplicity is a condition fraught with dangers. And six, simplicity, while a dangerous malady, is not an incurable one. Okay, so today we're going to look at how Sir Simple came to fall into sin. I think you will find this quite enlightening as we look at this. And remember that we're talking about two ways of life. Okay, the way of wisdom, the way of folly. And we're not just talking about sexual immorality, but that is the metaphor, the illustration that is used to describe the fall of the simple man. And so Proverbs chapter 7. And so I first of all want to give you the chapter outline. So there's three sections. There's a prologue, verses 1 through 5, the drama, verses 6 through 23, and then the epilogue, verses 24 to 27. I think at this point what we'll do is we'll read through this. I hope that you do have a copy handy for yourself, so you can follow what we're doing. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend, that they may keep you from an adulteress, from the foreigner who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked out through my lattice, and I saw among the naive, I discerned among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing through the street near her corner, and he takes the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. Behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She is now in the streets, now in the squares, and lurks by every corner. She seizes him and kisses him, and with a brazen face she says to him, I was due to offer peace offerings. Today I have paid my vows. Therefore I have come out to meet you and to seek your presence earnestly, and I have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, with colored linens of Egypt. I have sprinkled my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and at the full moon he will come home. With her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering words, she seduces him. Suddenly, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me and pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. All right, so that's our chapter. So basically what we're going to do, and this is based on an essay by Robert Deffenbaugh. I'm using his headings and some of his words as we discuss this, and indeed the title. So the first point is Sir Simple did not fall because he was simple. Look at verse 7. I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense. So it's not simply his simplicity. It is a part of it, but it's not just because he's simple. There are other simple ones around him, surrounding him. Verse 7. I saw among the naive, okay, or the simple, and discerned among the youths. Okay, this one young man. So he is the only one in the crowd who is seduced by Madame Folly. Now, so why does Sir Simple fall then? It's because he is sinful. He is inclined to sin, and he chooses to follow his inclinations. So the first point that we want to note is, it's not the fault of his simplicity that is the issue. It is the internal heart, and that is where he chooses the path that he follows. All right, so I'm going to stop there, because I want to sip a coffee, and ask if anybody has any comments on that point. Tola. Right. Well, his simplicity doesn't, his decision is not made on well-founded. So his simplicity contributes to it. But it's not simply because he's simple. It's because, but there is something else involved. And that is his sin nature, right? So he chooses to follow the way of folly. He's simple. He's still naive. But he chooses to follow the way of folly rather than seek counsel, rather than, follow after wisdom. He decides, well, okay, yeah, I'll try this. Okay, so, but that's because of his inner heart, the inclination of the heart. All right, Marlene. Self-will ultimately becomes self-will. He makes a choice. He's not just drifting. He's making a choice. Lee?
I'm not going to say the Latin part, but that whole ignorance of the law is not a valid defense against...
Right, that's right. That's right. Ignorance of the law is not a valid defense. All right, Tola, go ahead.
Does he mean being simple is not sinful?
Right. Being simple is not sinful in itself. But every person has a sin nature. So the simple person... So let's put it this way. Our kids are at various levels of simplicity. They don't know what we know. They don't know the potential pitfalls of all the things they could get into. So, when they're real little, they're just into mischief, but there are pitfalls even there. They're maybe not moral pitfalls, like for example, when I was a little boy, our neighbors had this boat, and we found amongst this boat, it was a wreck of a boat. It had water in it. The summer day, we found tar, our neighbors had a bucket of tar, and paint. And so all of us boys, my brother and their two boys, we were all buddies, and we were like eight, maybe six. We got into it. We spent the whole day in this boat, sun baking off the water, and of course it's summer, and it's hot, and we had our shirts off, and I'll tell you what, and we got covered in tar. Okay? Now, we were simple, we didn't realize the consequences, and so there were painful consequences. I remember blisters on our back from the sun, and then tar all over our hands and clothes. I don't know what happened to the clothes, but we had the scrubbing in the tub trying to get that off. And so that's simplicity. But as you get older, there are other temptations that are immoral temptations, like the temptation to play with paint. I don't think there's any moral quality to that, other than maybe stealing their dad's paint. I don't know. But, those temptations, as you get older, there's temptations that are actually to evil. And a simple person can choose to follow that evil, but I want to contend he does it not simply because he's ignorant and he's simple, but because his heart inclines him towards that. He will tend towards evil. And that's why parents need to guide children in what is right and train the simplicity out of them. Okay, does that make sense? All right, so I tend to have long answers to short questions. Okay, anybody else want to contribute on that point? Marlene?
Would naive be, or is that wrong?
Well, the New American uses the term naive. So when I first wrote these notes, I was using the King James, and they used the term simple, but it's exactly the same meaning there. Okay. Yes, Maureen.
So would you say then that, like in some ways, a simple person can be when you're choosing evil, that is sinful.
Yes.
So simplicity can become sort of sinful, I think.
Simplicity becomes sinful, but you slip into folly. Like simplicity, we could almost say ignorance. We could use that term. Just ignorance. Okay, but the simple person should also choose what is right.
Right. So could you say it this way then? So if, like, say for example, a younger person,
mm-hmm.
a simple thought is that sin doesn't have consequences.
Right.
So, oh well, no one will know. It
right.
won't cause me any harm. Whereas adults have seen people who've chosen that path. Who
right.
have become, you know, liars or have become,
sure.
Have had, you know, either health consequences or,
right.
you know, they build up habits of cheating on their wife or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So we know that a simple thing at the beginning can ensnare someone. So,
yes.
So that the choice of morality is saying, I'm going to choose the right thing. Because it's right, and I might still be naive and not knowing always the consequences, but
right.
I've started out
my yes.
path better.
Yeah, we have to make it, okay, so we have to teach the simple person, the child, to choose the better path, partly through our experience, through our observations, that because, as Maureen says, the simple thought could be, oh, it's not going to hurt anybody, oh, it's just one time, oh, it's just, that's a simple thought. And that's a giving in to the inner man, the sinful flesh, and so making provision for the flesh, and so the choice is made. But we need to teach our simple ones, our little ones, and ourselves that there are big consequences when we give in to our sinful nature. And if we're just indulging ourselves, the end of the road is not good. So what I'm saying is here in this first point, he did not fall simply because he was simple. Because in the example that we have here, there are other simple people who do not fall in the same way that he fell. Okay, so that's the point that we're making. All right, so let's go to the next one. Sir Simple was caught because he sought Madam Folly. So let's look at this. Now we notice in verse 11, Madam Folly is out. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. So she is out looking for victims. Okay. But in this case, look at verse 8. Passing through the street, near her corner, he takes the way to her house. So she is at home and he is out wandering. And in chapter 9, verse 14, I have a similar reference. Or let me see. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places of the sky, of the city, calling to those who pass by. So here is the simple person. Madam Folly, in this case, is not, the emphasis is not on her seeking him, but him at least sort of inclining his steps towards her. All right, so I have some quotes here that I wanted to read to you. These are from Bob Deffenbaugh, the first one. I do not think he was near her house by accident. It is my opinion that he wandered toward her house purposefully, knowing where she lived. Now, he goes on to suggest that he may have lingered about her house to see what he could see. And then he continues, I think Sir Simple knew about Madam Folly because she was the talk of the town. He lingered about her house because he wanted to get a look at her, to see what sin was really like. I doubt very much that he planned to sin or even wanted to initially, but he was looking for a thrill. Right? So, Franz Delitzsch in his commentary, about Sir Simple loitering about the corner of Madam Folly, says, on the street he went backwards and forwards, yet so that he kept near to her corner, that is, of the woman who he waited for. He never withdrew himself far from the corner of her house and always again returned to it. So he has the same insight there, that he is lurking around this corner because, well, I just like to see. Just like to see. All right? So Deffenbaugh tells a story in his article about a man who was offended about what he saw going on near a rock concert. There was a body of water nearby, and the man indignantly declared that he was repulsed by the fact that a number of young people were bathing nude at this rock concert, and that he knew this was so because he had been watching them for hours with binoculars. All right, so it's one thing to see something like that, but to study it is another thing. And so the question is, was Sir Simple actively seeking sin? All right, Lee, you want to jump in, so go ahead.
I mean, this is still almost active, but is it like willful ignorance?
There is a kind of willful ignorance, yeah. Okay. And a man who is in his simplicity is pursuing his simplicity, continuing in his simplicity, and sort of, how should we put it? Tantalizing his imagination. He's heard that there's something over here in this neck of the woods where, it's sort of kind of not really, people speak about it as bad, but I'd like to see what it is just so I know. Okay, people tell themselves, just so I know what it's all about. But they can get themselves trapped. In our day, in the 70s, I don't know what it's like in the schools now, but I remember in the 70s, how drugs were a big, big deal. And people, they were teaching the school system. I had this big seminar one time. And I was striking, I forget who it was. One of the teachers was leading it. And some kid made a comment. And the teacher said, oh, so what you're saying is don't knock it till you've tried it. And the kid said, yeah, that's right. And so we all knew that was something, it was a bad thing to do. Everybody spoke about it as bad. Now, most of us were simple concerning the drug culture. We weren't involved in it. We maybe knew people who were, or we suspected they were. But some people thought, wow, that's interesting. I wonder what it is all about. I wonder what it's like. And I wonder if I just were to, I'll just talk to that guy. Or if I were to just try it once. I mean, that won't hurt. So that's a simple person being seduced by Madame Folly, just step by step, getting closer before the decision is made. All right, Christy, I go on and on.
Think sometimes that the simple has slipped into the place of the fool, but they wear the cloak of the simple, saying, I didn't.
Sure, yes, yeah.
And with our children, like when we are training them, we can become permissive if we believe that, right? Like we have to be like,
yeah.
You didn't stop and think.
Right.
Right.
It's very challenging, yes. Yeah. All right, Lee.
And there is a conscience too. Like this is what I don't understand in like the scenario that's being talked here. And like,
okay, so conscience is there, yeah. But he knows it. He sort of has this sense. What I'm, walking over towards his house is probably not right.
Yeah.
Probably not a good idea, right? But just a walk. I'm just on the street. It can't hurt.
Right.
I'd like to see what that person's like, right? I mean, everybody talks about her, but that's the idea. And so the image here is of this man and this woman, but it could be, like I've mentioned, drugs, could be anything, alcohol, any of the things of the world does. People, Christians at church, they talk against this. I wonder why it's so bad about it. Okay. And so I'll try it. It's not so bad. What are they so against it for? Right? And they don't realize the hook. Right, Tola?
98% of the entire world have been caught in the web of this simplicity.
Yes.
That brings in the spirit of it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Everything you see except you are spiritually discerning.
Yeah.
Everything is, it doesn't matter. They are doing this, it doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
I think that is why the problem, that is one of the problems we are having in the world today.
Absolutely, yes.
In this world to be like this.
That's right. So the world is sending all kinds of messages. Now, of course, it's a lot easier to get that message out now. And people talk about the danger of kids having cell phones. Okay, now, how do we say this? There's things you can access with your cell phone that are corrupting, morally corrupting. Okay, we all know this. So, but our kids are out. Maybe they need a, you know, like they're going. Say we once they, especially they start working, and they and we feel like, well, they need to be able to call me, or text me, or something, so that I can, you know, pick them up or whatever is, you know, just so that for their safety. All right, but there are so many other problems they can get themselves into that parents would be wise to restrict that access in some way. Now, it doesn't mean that you say, okay, no phone, but you can say, okay, the phone is limited. It only can text or it only can do whatever. And it cannot access the internet or it cannot do this or that. I don't want my kid accessing it without permission or without supervision or whatever it is. Because the simplicity. And then like you say, a cloak of simplicity. Oh, I didn't know that was there, right? Like, really, you didn't? People hear about them, and they go, oh, well, I'm just would like to see what it's all about, right? And that deception. So they, like they said, they're walking on that street and just sort of, well, just looking over the fence. I'm just looking over the fence. What's wrong with walking down the street looking over the fence? Right? Hey, Lee.
This is an even more simple thing. I just think about with our own kids, like healthy or food choices and stuff like that. They'll ask like, oh, why can't we have this or why can't we have that? You know, it's like, I don't even want to introduce that to you. It's like, because like, as soon as you get that, you know, that, I don't know, like a taste of it or taste for it, you'll want more.
Yeah, but don't talk against peanut butter. That's all I ask.
But no, it's just an interesting thing. It's like a drug thing, too. It's like there's a curiosity there.
Yes.
That kind of sucks you in and ultimately can kill you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Okay, so Christy and then Tola.
Or Lola. I was thinking this on the way to church, actually, because, yeah, it's this constant battle in our house.
Yeah.
Give us the poison. Give us the poison. Give us the cartoons. Give us the, you know, the sugar. The, like, everything.
Yes.
It's actually the poison of the body and the mind that they crave. And it's this constant fight.
That's right.
Restrict it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right, that's right. So, Lola.
Yeah, it's almost like curiosity killed the cat.
That's right.
you're curious about something. You probably have a friend that it's not good for you. But
yes.
You just want to know, you know, let me just have a peek. You know,
that's right. That's right. You've got it. All right.
But the world does it, and the world partakes in it, and you're surrounded by it constantly.
That's right. So that's another factor. We do have the peer pressure of so many people that are involved in it one way or another. To one extent or another, and you know, they're healthy and you know they're fine. You know, and but you don't see 20 years down the road. You know, like I think about those kids that I went to school with, when like some of them were taking up smoking. Okay, now of course society is against smoking these days. Back then, I mean, smoking—you had an ashtray in your house for your guests. I mean, that's the way it was. You know, we're non-smokers. Okay, but those kids. Okay, so. All right, I can remember these, you know, beautiful young people, full of health, sucking on a cancer stick, as we used to call them, right? And, okay, now fast forward, now we're, how old am I, 60s? So 47 years later, what do those people look like? What has that done to their body? Some of them are dead, okay? Because that thing ultimately destroys them. All right, Tamar.
Also, the good thing you need to be a good friend with your child.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be too tight for her or for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be also too strong.
Mm-hmm.
This way, if you do anything, you're going to tell me the truth.
Yes, yeah. That's a good point. With those who are simple, we need to be close to them. Okay, it's not just we're the boss and you must do it, but that's part of it. But there's got to be that relationship. All right, I saw another hand over here, Marlene.
Well, I keep the Lord late in life, so all what you're saying, I see it's an unregenerated heart.
Mm-hmm.
If a guidance is at home when you're little, and it sparks the conscience,
mm-hmm.
and parents have a big responsibility for bringing their children up, and if God isn't a part of life, then, but temptation is there.
It's there all the time, that's right.
And they will try.
That's right. Okay, and the thing is, now I recognize that. I never, when I talk about things like this, I do not want people to feel, oh, I was terrible. You know, you worked with the light you had at the time. And the thing is that God can still redeem that life. Okay, God can still work, so. But still, you know, in terms of wisdom, this is what we're seeing. This is how, young people act, how we acted. Alright, let's see, I've got one more. Quote here, many of us may prefer to be pure, but would like to be propositioned first before we say no. He says. Okay. And, you know, just to show how strong I am. All right. So I'm going to move on now to the next one. Sir Simple was seduced but not deceived in this case. Now he might say, oh, I was tricked, but so Madame Folly is not deceptive in her approach. All right, so verse 10. Behold, a woman comes to meet him, dressed as a harlot and cunning of heart. Okay. Now, why does she dress this way? Okay, because that's what he's looking for. She is not, we find that she's a married woman, she has a household, she is not a harlot. She's dressed like a harlot. She greets him with a kiss, verse 13. She seizes him and kisses him. She reveals she is eager to drink the cup of love, verse 18. She tells him she is married, right? So she is not deceptive in her approach. Sir Simple then knows exactly what he was getting into because it, in his heart, it is what he wanted. So there are situations that we find ourselves in. Maybe we've had whatever reason. Maybe you had a long, hard, day. Maybe you had a long period of time where there's been a lot of things against you and you're feeling down and you're feeling like you just need a break and you need a release or something to sort of lift your spirits. And so there is a temptation that where you're saying, well, I'm just going to go look at that thing, or I'm going to go to that place and just see what's going on. And the idea is that's making provision for the flesh. And then when you're in the situation, then these various little attractants, here she comes out of the door, here she greets you, here she invites you in, and so forth. So Sir Simple was seduced but not deceived. And so that's the point I want to make on this. This one. So who was he lying to in this situation? Himself. All right. So he's lying to himself. All right. Any other comments on this one? Yes, Addie.
Yeah. For this one, I still take it back to choices and the foundation.
Yeah.
And I'll take that back to verse 1, where operated the Father was said, "My son, keep my words,
right,
and my commandments within you." And then the later part of chapter 2 says, "Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye."
Exactly, and that's exactly what Solomon is teaching us this, giving us this story for. That's right. Exactly right. All right, Lee, you wanted to add something.
When it says he's simple, is he not, like, is he going into this not understanding the true intentions of this person?
Well, He could be deceiving himself about that. I think he sort of knows what she's all about.
Okay.
Okay. Like if you go to, you know, any temptation that that young people or anybody would get into. Like if it's, I don't know, name any kind of sin. Well, you know there's evil there. I mean, you basically know.
Yeah.
Think about sins you've committed. Okay. Think about sins you've committed. You knew there was something wrong there. Maybe you didn't know all the details. You didn't know the consequences. You didn't know how bad it could be. But you sort of wanted to look. Right, Gordon?
You also think you're going to get away with it.
You think you're going to get away with it.
For some reason, we always think,
yeah,
not me.
Not me, yeah. Yeah. All right, so Lee?
So, like you say, and I don't know if I'm reading this into it, but he has enough understanding to know that this situation is probably not good.
Right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yes. All right. And Addie?
I'm just going to say there is always that silent voice, even as adults, when you do something or when you're about to get into trouble.
Yes.
That thing within ourselves.
That's right. And then later you think, I should have, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Yeah, yeah, that's right. All right. So, Christy.
The litmus testing, would they be doing it if someone was watching? They knew they were going to watch, right?
Yeah.
And so we teach the kids that God sees them.
Yeah. Yeah. That advertisement for the afternoon, that is the passage we're going to look at this afternoon. So, I have to throw plugs in wherever I get a chance. Okay? Okay, so, that's right. Okay, you're not alone when you're alone. Okay, so, last point. The sin of Sir Simple was not sudden, but sequential. So let's look at the sequence. In a certain sense, it does seem sudden. Look at verse 22. Suddenly he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, as one in fetters to the discipline of a fool, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. So suddenly, right, there's a decision that's made. So it does seem sudden. However, Sir Simple's decision is merely the end of a long sequence of bad decisions. He walked to the wrong neighborhood. He did so at the wrong time of day or night. He did not flee when Madame Folly propositioned him. He pondered her request, and suddenly he follows her. You see? And so Deffenbaugh says, my point is that none of us should ever willingly put ourselves in the position of having to make a decision with Madame Folly standing before us on a lonely street corner in the middle of the night. Decisions made in these circumstances are exceedingly dangerous. Once we have determined to court sin, going as far as we can without getting caught, we are an easy prey for Madame Folly. How much easier it would have been for Sir Simple to have decided to go home and go to bed than to stand on the corner watching all the girls go by, as the song says. So when did Sir Simple make his first mistake? Where did the sequence begin? So look at verse 24 through 27. Let's just read that again. Now therefore, my sons, listen to me, pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many are the victims she has cast down, and numerous are all her slain. Her house is the way to Sheol, descending to the chambers of death. All right, so, verse 25. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. The issue is Sir Simple has a heart problem. He despised the admonitions of his father, as Addie pointed out, verses 1 through 5. My son, keep my words. And all the way through, guard wisdom as the apple of your eye. Verse 2. Allow the word to master you. Verse 3, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Okay? And so it's not just follow your father, but make God's word your own most precious possession. And then make wisdom your sister. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. Now, possibly the term means, like in the Song of Solomon, the term sister is used for the wife. Okay, so this means marry wisdom, in other words, is what he's saying. Okay, so a committed relationship, no stranger in the night. Okay, so when did Sir Simple fall? Not verse 22, but in verses 1 to 5 when he didn't listen to his father. Okay, so that's the point. The sin of Sir Simple was not sudden, but sequential. And that's how you descend from simplicity to folly. As you do it in a sequence. All right, Lee.
The only thing I find interesting, I think I kind of brought this up maybe last week or the week before, about in verse 26b, I guess, and all who were slain by her were strong men.
Yeah.
And then in Nehemiah, like 13:26, it said, the wisest of all men, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin.
That's right.
So it's talking about the simple and like the seriousness of it. Like even the wisest of wise men was
right. Right. And if you consider the writings of Solomon, most people will date the Song of Solomon early, the Proverbs in the middle of his life in his strength, and then Ecclesiastes comes at the end. And it's like the old man looking back and saying, the only thing is to follow God. Okay. All right. So, Christy.
And all of these things were done for our examples, and let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall.
That's right. Amen. All right. Any other, Addie?
Yes. I refer this to Ephesians 5:15 that says, look carefully then how you walk.
Yes.
Not as unwise, but as wise.
That's right.
Making the best use of the time because the days are evil.
Absolutely.
And I was going to say that even as Christians,
yeah,
we should be mindful of how we spend our time.
Yes.
Because I feel that if this young man had been busy, probably trying to know more about God, trying to create a relationship,
yes,
he wouldn't be wandering around.
Exactly right. Exactly right. That is right. That's right. So we need to busy ourselves about the things of God and investigate his ways. All right. Any, let's see. What else do I have here? Oh, I meant to put that there. Okay. So anything else before I hit the conclusion? Okay. So I'm going to conclude with James 1:13-15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one of us is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust, his desires. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Then I have a lengthy quote. I didn't put it on the screen. This is again from Deffenbaugh, and he says, I have been impressed with the fact that the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are almost entirely devoted to extolling wisdom and exhorting the reader to pursue it as the most valuable treasure one can acquire. Diligence and discipline are required to obtain it, but it is worth every effort. Why is so much time and effort spent to establish this point? Sir Simple has reminded us that we are inclined not to regard wisdom as highly as we must if we are to walk in the way of wisdom. Sir Simple disregarded wisdom because it was not that valuable or important to him. We disregard the Word of God and our relationship with the Lord for the same reason. No one is willing to make the sacrifices wisdom requires without first regarding it as worth the effort. This also serves to rebuke those of us who would seek to promote the gospel by minimizing its cost. In one sense, salvation costs men nothing, for we cannot contribute anything to it by our works. Ephesians 2:8-9. But while our salvation is free, it was not cheap, for it was obtained at the cost of the shed blood of our precious Lord. Becoming a Christian is no simple matter of giving mental assent to the fact of the gospel. To be saved, men must not only believe certain things about him, they must believe in him as God's only provision for the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Becoming a Christian involves much more than a once-in-time decision, as important as that is. Being saved is choosing to walk in a new way. It involves repentance, the forsaking of sin, and following the Lord Jesus as his disciple. When we minimize the cost of discipleship, we imply that being saved is not all that important. I find the book of Proverbs stressing both the value of wisdom and the need for diligence and devotion on the part of those who would be wise. Let us never diminish the value of our salvation, nor imply that following the Savior is a matter of minimal commitment and cost. So I think that's a good warning and it fits in with what we were saying this morning, is that call to devotion, that we would be people of God, that this would be, following God is the most important thing in our lives. Like, we can have career desires and ambitions, we can have family ambitions, we can have, how should we put it, ambitions, success ambitions, we could say own a home, own a car, whatever, all those things are needed, but the most important thing in life is to be following God. All right, any last comments before we close this morning?
So I guess, like, in some ways, would you say, like, the church... that wasn't on the whole time, actually.
Oh, that wasn't on the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody should have told me. I'm here flipping the screen, and I'm giving you all the blanks.
I mean, that's an
interview. Oh, for heaven's sake. Here I am, and you're just letting me go down the garden path. Let me give you all, there's all your blanks if you want your blanks.
I just thought that maybe you could make slides.
I always make slides.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, I feel very simple. All right, okay. So if you want the blanks, there's the blanks. Okay.
I was just thinking about the what that last quote was, like making, you know, because often today in salvation discussions, it is free and it is, there's no cost, but I think that...
there's a lack of a call to commitment and repentance. You see, I think that that's the issue, is that, so in presenting the gospel, there is a temptation to, just trust Christ, it's free, you know, and then you can live all any way you want. But we need to teach repentance as well. Mm-hmm. Salvation means that we're turning our back on the old way. Okay, we're turning to the new way. So there is a cost that needs to be emphasized. Mm-hmm. All right, anything else? Okay.
Well, I know a lot of people that say they believe in Jesus, but they don't believe what he said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if you can't read what he said and think that somehow everything is going to turn out okay no matter what.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So we want to campaign against easy believism as well, right? So, yes.
I read a quote the other day and it was saying, the fact that you believe in God, but don't disobey him, is exactly what the devil does.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Now, the fact that you say you believe in God, but disobey him, well, that's exactly what the devil does.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Okay. All right, well, let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time today. Pray for your blessing on this. And give us wisdom as we pursue knowing you and following after you. In Jesus' name, amen.